around the world to around the block. This is a 77-second news update from the RSESolutions.com news desk.
I'm Frank Morano. President Biden will have another chat with the senator leading the GOP effort to get a deal on infrastructure. The two sides are still a ways apart, but West Virginia's Shelley Moore Capito is hoping to strike an agreement with the White House. Biden has proposed nearly $2 trillion in infrastructure spending, but Republicans have countered with just under a trillion. A Texas man is admitting to committing hate crimes by targeting gay men through a dating app. Daniel Jenkins pleaded guilty this week to robbing, kidnapping, and carjacking at least 9 people. He and 3 others were accused of using the dating app Grindr to set up meetings with their victims and then holding them at gunpoint. Jenkins faces up to 26 years in prison when he's sentenced later this year. His 3 accomplices have previously pleaded guilty. Protesters have been out in the streets of Minneapolis after police shot and killed a felony suspect. Demonstrators gathered near the parking garage where the shooting happened Thursday afternoon. They blocked off the street and lit a dumpster on fire, but there are no reports of clashes with officers. Police say the suspect was wanted for felony gun possession and pulled a gun on task force members who tried to arrest him. The Border Patrol says 3 stash houses are out of commission in South Texas. The agency worked with local authorities to shut down the houses in Laredo within hours of one another. A total of 182 illegal immigrants were found inside the homes. The migrants were from the countries of Mexico, Guatemala, Ecuador, and Honduras. That's your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Arzamanian will put you to work. I'm Frank Moreno on 77 WABC. The Other Side of Midnight continues next.
Music Radio 77 WABC presents Saturday Nights with Tony Orlando every Saturday at 10 p.m.
Hi, everybody. This is Tony Orlando.
Come 3 times on the ceiling if you want me.
It's like a variety show on the radio. Storytelling at its best. Saturday Nights were made for Music Radio 77 WABC and Tony Orlando. Oh, every Saturday at 10 p.m., right after Cousin Brucey on Music Radio 77 WABC.
Okay, listen up, recruits. Homes are flying off the shelves. A moment's hesitation and you're a backup offer. Think you have time to get a mortgage quote after you make an offer? Think again. Want to compare insurance options with a third party? Not if you want to see tomorrow. We've got 5 minutes to put an offer in after the listing goes live, or we're in no man's land. You hear me? All right, now let's head out to some showings.
Home buying shouldn't be so intense. Why not use an agent that's helping simplify the process? With Rex, that's what you get. Full-service agents, mortgage, title, escrow, insurance, all in one place. Plus, homebuyers who buy and sell with Rex save over $10,000 on average in unnecessary fees. Ready to get started? Call 833-REX-HOME, 833-739-4663, 833-739-4663. New York license number 10991225737. For further licensing disclosures, please visit rexhomes.com.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Good morrow. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. So it's funny, when I was mapping out the week's worth of shows, I was trying to, you know, I tried to do different things on different days, trying to be a little experimental so that you really never know what you're getting when you listen to the show. So I said on Friday, when I was mapping out the show earlier in the week, I said on Friday, why don't we, by the way, it is Friday. Don't make the mistake of thinking it's Thursday. It's very much Friday all day. Why don't we try to do a show with no guests, and I'll just take calls and talk to Christian and Gabby and give my opinion on different things. And then a funny thing happened. As of last night, until around 5:30, the phones were still not working. So I said, well, wait a minute. How am I going to do a show with no guests and no phone calls? I said, I can do a fair amount of talking. As Marlena said, a UFO is an uninterrupted, frank oration. But
5.5 hours of doing nothing but hear me talk, I would feel pity for you having to sit through that. So I reached out to two people on either ends of the political spectrum who are incredibly bright, who are incredibly kind, and who always are actually pretty funny and have a pretty refreshing take on the news of the day. And I wanted to see if they would both join me. And sure enough, even after the phones were fixed, I still was so eager to have this radio matchup take place. So first, let me welcome John McDonough, a taxi driver, a radio talk show host, and somebody who is generally on the left end of the political spectrum, although sometimes he has a position that surprises you. John, good morning. Thanks for joining me on the radio. I know it's past your bedtime or a little early for your wake-up time.
Frank, you now officially have the title of James Brown, the hardest working man in radio.
I don't know about that, but I'll certainly take it. And I also want to welcome nationally syndicated conservative radio talk show hostess and the host of All American Radio, a longtime Republican political strategist and the former spokesperson for the California Republican Party, in addition to the many other accolades that she has over the years. You've heard her on Bernie and Sid before, as well as a lot of other great New York area talk shows. Jen Kearns. Hello there, Jen.
I thought I was going to be on here solo.
Well,
so now
trust
my
me.
Agent's fired.
John doesn't bite. You guys will be okay. Have you guys ever done Liquid Lunch together?
I don't think so, but I do love a cab driver. I think cab drivers are the most intelligent people anywhere across the country. You know, I travel a lot coast to coast. They are always up on the news. They always have a strong opinion, and most of them are conservative because a lot of them came from other parts of the world, and they've lived under communism, and they've lived under socialism, and they hated it, and they came here, and they want freedom.
Well, so the only communism that John McDonough has lived under is in his own household. am I right, John?
Oh, you got that. But I'm a driver of a different era when it used to be Jewish, Italian, and Irish cab drivers. So I would be coming from that point of view from back then.
Well, let me ask you both to begin with an issue which everybody seems to want to talk about. And that's the issue of COVID and the COVID origins. It seems like these Dr. Fauci emails, which Brian Kilmeade first told me about before he broke it on Fox and Friends the other day. It seems like these Fauci emails are almost like a Rorschach test, and you can see whatever you want in these Fauci emails. Jen Kearns, let me begin with you. What's your take on these Fauci emails? What does it mean for the investigation into the COVID lab leak theory? And what do you think it means for Fauci?
Look, I think the journalists who did the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act request, are brilliant. This is what I would tell a lot of young journalists. This is a tool you can use to hold government accountable. Fauci works for us. The NIH is at the taxpayer expense. We should be actually getting all of their emails. This was the largest pandemic in 100 years. It killed 3.5 million people so far. Compare that to the sacred devastation that happened on 9/11, where more than 3,000 people were killed, 3.5 million people killed. Here is the kicker. I think at the end of this, let me fast forward to the end of this crisis, because I've done a lot of crisis communications and emergency communications in California for wildfires, earthquakes, and things, and have done mass evacuations of a million people to an NFL stadium. So I take a great interest whenever there's crisis and how do we communicate through that. At the end of the day, won't it be something if something got released out of that lab, either intentionally or unintentionally, but that it was paid for and funded by the US of A, that we actually provided the bullets to the gun that shot us and devastated so many businesses for a year, killed so many people around the world? There could be some 9/11 style lawsuits that come of this against the USA, certainly against China. But I think the US is going to be on the hook for a lot of money here.
John McDonough, give me your view, if you have one, on these Fauci emails and the COVID lab leak origin theory.
Well, I just think the one thing that it exposes that, I didn't know about it, and most people in America didn't know about it, that these type of experiments are going on and that we're helping fund them over in China, where we have no oversight and we don't know what's going on, but we're giving the money. Like, why are these experiments going on in the first place? Genetically engineering viruses and to see what the, what was the purpose of these experiments? What were they going to do with it? Say they, well, it's quite obvious they did something because the virus is around the world, but I just cannot understand. There should be some things that scientists should not be allowed to do, and engineering viruses should be one of them, and we should not be paying for it, and it shouldn't be happening at all.
Well, you know, I think you're speaking for a lot of people here on both sides of the political spectrum. 800-848-9222 if you want to comment or ask a question to either Jen Kearns or John McDonough on any of the issues that we're tackling. Now, John, I understand you're making your way, you know, to New York for your annual urine test for your hack license. Do I have that?
Yes, I. We have to
cough once
as yellow cab drivers. to take a urine test because the city wants us. So what happens with a lot of the drivers who smoke weed all year, they have to have like Lent before it comes off, before they take it. So they go off weed for a couple of weeks. They go into LabCorp and they take the urine test. They come out and they start smoking. So it's a ridiculous thing what's going on. But now what the Taxi and Limousine Commission has done, they're not going to be testing for weed because it's been legalized. You know,
well,
why would you say in New York City.
Why would you testify for it if it's a legal substance at this point, right?
Yeah, but that's everything's evolving now. I mean, Amazon, they just reported that they're not going to test for weed. And I was on a Zoom call with a lot of fellow veterans, newer guys that just came back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And when I was in the Army stationed in Germany, they had just started bringing in urine tests. And if you were testing positive, you were kicked out of the service. And the guys that went to Afghanistan and Iraq were telling me now that they are so depleted for soldiers in the U.S. Army that they're not kicking out anybody that does test positive, and they're trying to get them help, which is probably the right way of doing it, because to get a dishonorable discharge because, say, you were smoking weed or you got caught up in drugs in the country that you were stationed in, it is a bit harsh because it carries with you for the rest of your life. So now you can see the easing up for jobs and within the service that you can come home and smoke a couple of joints and not ruin your life because of a urine test.
Well, as the resident fuddy-duddy in the room, I know, Frank, don't you support legalization?
Well, I support initiative and referendum and letting the voters of each state determine what they want to be legal.
Okay.
I wish New Yorkers could vote for themselves. Okay, we're okay with marijuana. We're not okay with ecstasy. We're okay with this. We're not okay with that. But I have a more nuanced view. I certainly don't think anybody should go to prison for smoking marijuana or possessing marijuana.
But
I don't feel comfortable with full recreational legalization.
But there's a difference between, oh, it's legal now, and then you can get behind the wheel of a car. Beer is legal, so is wine, but you don't want your taxi driver taking a bottle of wine and or a case of beer and getting behind the wheel of a car. So I actually agree with the weed test for taxi. Do Uber drivers have to take the same test?
That's a good question, John.
Yeah, they do. Uber and Lyft, because they get the same type of hack license. But nobody's talking about driving while they're drinking or smoking weed. We're talking about after you get done with a 12-hour shift, mm-hmm. Some people go and have a drink. Some people might light up. And with the test, you know the exact date when you're taking the test. So it's really irrelevant. If guys are not that hooked, they can stop taking it a week or two before and then start smoking for the rest of the year afterwards. So it was a bit ridiculous.
That's what Henri Paul thought. He was off the clock and he drank at the Ritz, and we know how that ended. I'm just saying. John.
Let me deviate from the news of the day for a minute, and I want to ask both of your opinions on something. If people are just tuning in, this is The Other Side of Midnight, talking with Jen Kearns and John McDonough. Jen Kearns on the right, John McDonough on the left. I'm going to bring in Christian and Gabby to comment on this as well, because this is potentially a much more serious point of discussion with a much more immediate impact on all of our futures than anything else we're going to cover for the next hour. So, yesterday on Staten Island, General Michael Flynn was on Staten Island campaigning for Fernando Mateo, right? So Fernando Mateo is running against my friend Curtis Lee in the Republican primary for mayor. So John Tobacco, who we all know, who's a Newsmax host and kind of a conservative opinion leader, community activist, a candidate for controller, he confronts General Flynn and asks about General Flynn, about Fernando Mateo raising $40,000 for de Blasio. Now, John sends me this link, and I tweet this link out to the video, and people could see it at Frank Morano of John Tobacco confronting General Flynn. You could see it for yourself at Frank Morano on Twitter. And all I said, this is what I wrote in the tweet. General Flynn being asked about Fernando Mateo raising money for de Blasio on Staten Island today, hat tip John Tobacco. And then the link. That's all I tweeted. So an interesting thing happened 21 minutes ago. Okay. Now, we all know that this station is owned by John Catsimatidis. His daughter, Andrea Catsimatidis, happens to be the chairperson of the Manhattan Republican Party, which has endorsed Fernando Mateo. Now, 21 minutes ago, and I want to resolve this quickly, and I want to get the collective advice of the four of you over how to handle this, hopefully before anybody else named Catsimatidis wakes up and hears what I'm saying. Andrea Catsimatidis retweets my tweet and says the following. It's people like Frank Morano who give journalists a bad name. General Flynn endorsed Fernando Mateo yesterday, and he's trying it to make it seem like the opposite. His CNN-style narrative by omission is exactly why he has zero likes on most of his tweets. Shame on him! Exclamation point. Now, I'll begin with you, Jen. What would you suggest I respond to this tweet with, if anything? I'll tell you what I've drafted.
Always a great talking point is, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree here.
Okay, agree to disagree.
That's always a great way to diffuse
things. Okay, John McDonough.
As
you
your
have,
personal press secretary.
Yeah, okay, that's not bad.
And I like Andrea Catsimatidis.
So do I.
I
so
love
do I.
Female
I want to be on the record.
Chair. I yeah. love it, love it.
John McDonough, what's your advice here?
My advice is to you, go into your Twitter account, delete that tweet, and then say you were hacked and beg for forgiveness to keep your job.
You know what I say when seriously, as a far-right conservative, a right-winger, admittedly, anytime I don't get likes on something, I go, well, I guess I'm being shadow banned.
Right. That's pretty good. But now, no, but the my initial tweet that she responded to has many likes and retweets. So, Christian, what is your advice on this one here?
I think I have to agree with Jen. Like, the safest way, especially with this being the boss's daughter, is to say, you know, agree to disagree on this one.
Gabby, your take?
Honestly, I just wouldn't answer.
You what?
I wouldn't answer.
You wouldn't answer.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you say don't That's answer. And the two of you say agree to disagree.
Yes.
I feel like I should say something. So what I initially wrote was, sorry to disappoint you, Andrea. We'll try to do better in the future. This way you could kind of read into
it. That's good.
If is it sarcastic? Is it sincere?
I think that's good.
Okay. You like that one? Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm going
with.
We
approve this message.
All right. Thank you.
I'm going to start beefing up my resume.
A tweet being written by committee. I think he might be on a plane right now. That's the only thing that may save me.
By the way, this is exactly how campaign communication decisions are made.
That's right. Although hopefully not broadcast to tens of thousands of people at a given time.
A few minutes later.
All right. Well, so you could see that whole Twitter dispute at Frank Morano on Twitter. It's worth following me just for that. You never know what I will say or tweet that will get me in trouble. All right. We're going to continue with John McDonough and Jen Kearns, talk about some other issues facing the country. Want to get their opinion on this California recall election. We'll talk about some other issues facing New York State and New York City and where we go from here. But the one thing that everybody should agree upon is that we want better digestive health. And let me tell you something. I have been drinking Life Change tea for months now, and I will tell you, my digestion has never been better. Believe me. Got a nice email today from a listener named Pauline. Subject, get the tea. I did. Hi, Frank. Just placed my order for Get the Tea using your code. I've heard this commercial elsewhere. I wanted your show to get the credit for my purchase since I'm a big fan of the show. That is a nice listener. See, that is somebody that is engaging in commendable behavior. So if you go to the website, getthetea.com, that's getthetea.com, and you order some Life Change tea, not only will you get a great product that helps detoxify you on a daily basis, but if you use the promo code Frank, you're letting the sponsor know that you heard about it on this show. It's win-win. You get to get great product at a great price because promo code Frank means you don't pay for shipping. And this show gets credit for being an advocate for it. The website is getthetea.com. The promo code is Frank. We'll continue with John McDonough and Jen Kearns straight ahead.
There's perspective.
You just got to keep an open mind.
And then there's New York perspective.
Are you as offended as I am?
And contrary to popular opinion.
You can't make deals with just anybody.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, a better way to start your day. Due to popular demand, the WABC Early News is now from 5 to 6:30. Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano have news. Traffic on the 7s. Sit on sports at 15 and 45. Business reports. Weather. And the newsmakers. The information you need to start your day from the station you trust. The WABC Early News. 5 to 6:30. Weekday mornings on 77 WABC. ABC.
Gold and silver prices are at an all-time high. If you have any gold, silver, or platinum coins, bullion, Franklin mint items, diamonds, jewelry, art, antiques, paintings, French furniture, or any Tiffany items, sterling flatware, Judaica, oriental rugs, older baseball cards, sports and entertainment memorabilia, watches, especially better watches such as Rolex, Patek Philippe, Vacheron, Tiffany, IWC, Cartier, Bulgari, just to name a few. They will buy them all at the highest cash prices in any condition, even broken. They also need any designer jewelry such as Cartier, Tiffany, Buccellati, Van Cleef, Harry Winston, and Bulgari. Now is the time to cash out at the world-famous APR 57 Gallery on 57th Street in New York City, across from Carnegie Hall. They can also come to your home and do certified insurance appraisals. So if you have anything of value, call them for a free appraisal and high cash offer at 212-246-2000. That's 212-246-2000. Or toll free at 1-800-772-0054.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano, joined by our Jen and John panel. We have John McDonough, stand-up comic, radio talk show host, and taxi driver, and a commentator on the left. And we have a longtime Republican strategist and radio talk show host, nationally syndicated radio talk show hostess, Jen Kearns, on the right. Let me ask you both. I'll begin with you, Jen, since you have a lot of experience in California politics. What's going to happen with this California recall? Will Gavin Newsom survive, or is he the next Craig Davis? And is Caitlyn Jenner the next Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, boy. I wish that Caitlyn Jenner was the next Arnold Schwarzenegger. I wish it was that clearly cut. I don't think at this point in the race, she's quite there yet. But there is hope in this. A couple of positive things about the recall. The polling is pretty much neck and neck. So it's anyone's race. It's a jump ball. Support for the recall is anywhere between 49% and 51%, depending on which poll.
Wow.
I thought it would be a little bit higher by now, but here's the thing. Gavin Newsom is this political Houdini. He gets out of his political messes at the last minute, like with seconds to spare. Remember growing up watching Houdini, you know, hearing the stories of Houdini getting out of the, you know, twisted knot at the last minute. That is Gavin Newsom. There have been many things that have gone wrong in his career. There was a years ago, there was a big Bay Area fuel spill on his watch when he was San Francisco mayor. He was actually wheels up on a plane to some fun trip to Hawaii and didn't tell anybody he wasn't in San Francisco when it happened. And, you know, if you're in San Francisco, you've got to answer to the environmentalists. So he had that. He also had, when he was running against Jerry Brown in 2010, he dropped out of the race, but sort of forgot to tell the public and his staff for 10 days that he was out of the race. And like basically the equivalent of Mark Sanford's went hiking on the Appalachian Trail. So he always has these weird things, but then he always comes out of it at the last minute. The only thing he didn't win on was the Prop 8 campaign, for which I was spokesperson, which was the traditional marriage versus gay marriage campaign out there. That's really the only thing that Republicans were able to beat him on. And that's really, he's only lost one race, and that was the only race in 28 years in his political history.
John McDonough, you have a take on the California recall election? Any predictions, any hopes,
well,
any fears?
No, not so much on that. Frank, it's hard enough following New York politics, never mind California politics.
Ain't that the truth?
I only wish that we had a recall for Mario Cuomo, who, when he's not writing books, he's doing the Cuomo death march.
Right, Andrew Cuomo.
People
yeah.
in that. And I've said this on your station. I think the Son of Sam law should be brought in against Cuomo and this $5 million advance he got. And that money should be taken away from him because he's profiting from the crimes he committed at the senior citizens home. And it should be given to some of the relations of the people who died. And if we had a recall, it would energize the population of the state of New York to do something, because right now Cuomo is going to ride the clock out. He's just hoping that all of these, you know, they always say, if you want something to end right away, you know, form a committee or do an investigation. So, because you look at some of the Trump investigations that he initiated, they're still going on.
That's right. That's
so
right.
This is never going to end with Cuomo, and he'd probably get reelected again.
John McDonough, let me take advantage of your expertise as a taxi driver. There's been a lot of controversy over these outdoor dining spaces. I drive into work just about every day these days because of the odd hours. I used to take mass transit. Now I drive in. And it is interesting, and I'm a big advocate for the restaurants, and I dine out far too often, but it is interesting seeing how many parking spots these outdoor dining spaces have taken. I'm curious, have you noticed that as a driver, and have you heard any complaints from your driving brethren?
If you live in the city, you can't help but notice it. It has taken away 10,000 spots. Now, prior to the pandemic, if a restaurant owner went to Home Depot, bought a 2x4 and a screw gun, and started putting up something outside it, there would be so many agencies coming down from the city.
True.
Where's your permit for this? Where's your permit for that? Now, during the pandemic, they needed help. Just like there was tents in Central Park for the pandemic, just like the Jacob Javits Center. All of that is closing down. And as I call them, these shanty towns that have popped up all around, particularly in Astoria and Queens and Long Island City, you can't find parking. So now you're forced to go into these parking lots and pay exorbitant fees. And I really believe they should be taken down, because if any of these city officials went down there and checked them for fire hazards, now you're out in the middle of the street where there's going to be accidents.
Mm-hmm.
They're now blocking. So when a guy goes to make a delivery, he has to double park outside and take up another lane. So if you're an environmentalist, now traffic is backing up on 1st and 2nd Avenue. All the exhaust fumes are coming up through your hamburger. Get indoors. It's over. Take off the mask. I know, Frank, you say you're dining out, but you're eating in.
Well,
I mean, there is a difference. We don't have to dine out and stay out. We can go in. So I'm hoping that they start taking down some of these shanty towns and get people back into the restaurant for a little bit of AC and no pollution, noise pollution, or pollution from the cars.
Jen, how about you? What's your take on these dining areas that take up a lane of traffic?
You know, I think it's fine for now, but when Labor Day comes and all of these firms are having their I almost said constituents, having their employees come back into the office, it's going to be a real problem, because you're going to have a full city then where people are getting frustrated. And look, I always think of it from a public safety standpoint. I think of it from, like, what an easy target that is for a terrorist, just to drive a U-Haul van into one of those, you know, shanty towns, as he says. I think it's dangerous from that perspective. Look, the answer to all of this is to reopen America, fully reopen restaurants, open New York City. If you don't believe us, just read Dr. Fauci's emails. You'll see there's nothing to worry about. Reopen America.
Well, let me get your take on the January 6th incident, Jen. There's still a lot of controversy about this, where the House voted to form this independent congressional commission. The Senate, they tried to go forward, but the Republicans blocked it. President Biden said yesterday he's not going to appoint a presidential commission to investigate this. What, if anything, do you think should happen with respect to a January 6th commission?
Well, look, I think if we're going to have a commission on January 6th, then we need to have one on the 110 plus days last summer that BLM rioted and that Antifa rioted. It burns me up to see, and granted, I respect the U.S. Capitol, but I think you look at the Americans who had their businesses burned all last summer for 120 plus days. I think it was more like 160 days. Joe Biden said nothing for 109 days as that happened. And I would be willing to bet there are still businesses in Minneapolis and St. Louis and Seattle and Portland who probably still haven't rebuilt. But Nancy Pelosi's office in the U.S. Capitol was able to be put back together in 3 hours. Again, it just seems there's such a priority because it happened at their workplace. What about the rest of Americans who got shouted off the street and got their outdoor table wrecked by these protesters shouting them down? There's just a little bit of inequality. The Democrats talk all the time about equality. If they want to have a January 6th commission, then let's really talk about protest in America and the State of the Union on that.
John McDonough, what's your view as to what should be done in the aftermath of the January 6th riots?
Well, the things are being done, and it is riots. It's not an insurrection. Working at WBAI, we've covered many insurrections that have been funded by the CIA, whether it's in Central America or South America. Those are genuine insurrections where the army is coming in, arresting the politicians. If you looked at the cast of characters that went into the Capitol building with the Viking horns, how is that an insurrection? But Frank, without doing any investigation or anything, the first thing that Nancy Pelosi does is that we need more funding for the police, the Capitol Police. Why didn't she say we need more funding for social workers that could be working at the Capitol and interviewing people that are coming in and out and might be wanting to riot and stuff like that? So they want to protect themselves, but yet they want the police in New York City to be defunded, where we're living in the neighborhoods where there's less police and less police joining and things like that. But it's amazing. The first thing they go without any investigation is we have to increase the budget for the Capitol Police.
Well, and speaking of police, there's an alarming trend happening. We saw just yesterday there was this report that several Seattle police officers who went to the Trump rally, not went into the Capitol during the insurrection, but actually just went to the Trump rally, they have been asked to turn over their personal cell phones, their bank records, to see what they were doing on January 6th. And they are now being investigated for any participation in this. Again, none of them said they went into the Capitol. I heard from a family in Odessa, Texas, the family of Vic Williamson. He is a former law enforcement officer. He said he did not go in with the first insurrection, but he went in the second wave, which was just kind of the looky-loos to go in and take pictures. He was arrested 2 weeks ago at a 6 a.m. Pre-dawn raid when his 2-year-old grandson was at the house. Former law enforcement officer, now facing 3 years in prison because he walked over the threshold of the Capitol and took a few pictures.
Wow.
And here's what's interesting. The local FBI in town in Odessa, Texas, actually knew him because he's part of the law enforcement community. He said, why the raid? You guys could have just called me. I would have come down happy to answer any questions. They said it's coming from the top in D.C. They want to make an example out of you all. And here's the kicker. While he awaits trial, they're going to make him go to D.C. and sit in a prison cell, a former law enforcement officer, and await trial for his, participation, quote unquote, on January 6th. This is an attack on law enforcement officers who simply went to D.C. for the first time to protest anything. They went to the Trump rally, and now they're going to be punished for this. Mark my words, this is a war on police.
We will take your calls as well for our Jen and John panel at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. John, did you have anything that you wanted to add there?
No, I just think, what's going on with this January 6th thing, I think maybe a couple of years from now, there'll be the January 6th riot sales that'll be going on. We'll be able to buy mattresses and cars and stuff like that.
We'll see what happens.
It'll be considered a holiday.
Marie in the Bronx has a comment. Hello, Marie.
Hello.
Hello, Marie.
I received a ballot from Curtis Sliwa early. Mm-hmm. And on that ballot was the taxi man and Curtis Sliwa. I voted, mailed it, etc. Now, that ballot only had the names of two people. Later on television, I see the bubble card where you have choices, 1, 2, 3, etc., with controller, city offices, etc.
Sure.
Now, am I eliminated from the bubble card with all the different offices that I could have voted for?
So let me explain, Marie.
I voted for Sliwa.
No, let me explain, Marie. Let me explain what happened. So, based on your ballot situation, it sounds like you're a registered Republican. Am I right about that?
Correct.
Right. So right now in New York City, because of a technical problem which put an end to the controller's Republican primary, there's only one Republican candidate, only one Republican contest in New York City citywide this year. That's the Republican primary for mayor. And there are only two candidates. So because there are only two candidates, there's no one to rank. You just pick one or the other. Now, if you were a registered Democrat, you'd have a choice of 13 candidates for mayor, and you could bubble in, I like Andrew Yang 1, Eric Adams 2, Ray McGuire 3, Maya Wiley, Diana Morales 4, and there's also a primary for public advocate and a primary for controller. But since you're a registered Republican, unless you would have switched parties a few months ago, you would not have been able to vote in that. So your vote for Curtis has nothing to do with your eligibility to vote in that Democratic primary. Make sense?
No.
Right. What was missing?
Why am I not getting the bubble card?
Because you're not a registered Democrat. So there's only two candidates in the Republican race for mayor. So there's nobody to rank. There's only two candidates.
So all those votes. I see what you're talking about.
Right. You see what I'm saying? If you were a registered Democrat, you'd have 13 candidates and you could rank 5. Make sense?
Now it does.
Great. I'm glad I could help, Marie. I'm sorry, Jen and John. I didn't
like
mean to take away from your time.
Over here.
But I thought you had a question for you guys.
You are Mr. Ranked Choice Voting.
I am. anything you want to add to my explanation? Anything that was unclear at all, Jen?
No. So when there are only two candidates, why can't you just say 1 and 2? I mean,
well, you could,
obvious,
I guess. But
obvious, I guess.
I guess the one that's not one
right.
is two. Right?
That was a blonde question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
John McDonough, anything you want to add there?
Well, just like I brought up the last time, I've lived in Ireland part of my life, and they have proportional representation. But there's actual pacts made between people saying, in my area, I'll ask my constituents to give you your number 2 if they give you your number 1. And I said before, Andrew Yang should be campaigning in different neighborhoods on the basis of, give me your number 2. I know you're not going to vote for me as number 1, but I'll take your number 2. And the candidates don't seem to have a grasp of that as they're campaigning. That they should be out there trying to get the number 2, because in certain neighborhoods you just know who's going to vote for
right.
who. But the number 2 could be very vital when other people start dropping out and the votes are being transferred to the candidates that are above them.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you, Jen. Hang around if you guys – I know it's late, but hang around anyway. We have a few other issues we're going to delve into. We'll take your calls next. If you're going to call this hour, ideally call for questions for Jen or John. Jen's an expert on politics. John's an expert on taxis. They're both experts on radio. If you have a question on anything resembling public policy, give us a call, 1-800-848-WABC. I will tell you this. Sometimes listening to me can give you a pain in the neck. Well, if the pain in your neck does not go away, you need to make a trip over to Trinity Rehab. They're not just good for neck pain. They're great for knee pain, back pain, shoulder tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, whatever the case may be, any sort of chronic pain. They have something there called the EPAT machine, which is an FDA-approved non-surgical acoustic pressure wave technology. It's similar to what's used to break up kidney stones. And with 3 5-minute sessions in this EPAT machine, you're virtually pain-free. There's no prescription needed to get started. They're all over New Jersey. Clifton, Paramus, Wayne, Short Hills, Emerson, East Windsor, Shrewsbury. By the way, Marlena Shiva was here yesterday. She said she just saw the location in Shrewsbury. She said it looks great. And they even have one in Woodbridge. So call Trinity Rehab at 800-518-0977. Even if you're not in pain now, You might be one day. So take this number anyway. 800-518-0977. You can also go to the website trinity-rehab.com.
There's perspective.
You just got to keep an open mind.
And then there's New York perspective.
Are you supposed to take these people seriously?
This is a country in deep trouble.
That's the real America. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Bringing home the best birthday cake ever.
It was my fifth birthday, and my dad was bringing home the cake.
Should have been here a half hour ago.
The cake never made it, and neither did my dad.
911, what's your emergency?
That was the day a drunk driver killed my dad.
Daddy?
Impaired drivers take lives. Think.
Sponsored by the New York State Governor's Traffic Safety Committee. Aired in cooperation with the New York State Broadcasters Association.
It's Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra. This Sunday night, starting at 6, with your host, Joe Piscopo.
Night and day, you are the one. Luck be a lady tonight.
Hey, now!
I'm so in love.
It's Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra. This Sunday night, starting at 6.
With me, Joe Piscopo.
On
Music Radio 77. WABC.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Bernie and Sid in the morning.
A year ago, if you would have asked me, and I think most New Yorkers, Bernie, what do you think about de Blasio? I hate his guts. What do you think about Cuomo? Well, he's a liberal and he's full of it, but he's fine. Now, a year later, you're going to find that Bill de Blasio may be more liked in this city and state than the governor.
People would tend to like a bungling idiot more than a homicidal maniac.
Bernie and Sid in the morning, weekdays, 6:30 to 10. Listen on the 77 WABC mobile app.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator.
See you later, alligator. Bill Haley and the Comets. 1-800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight, joined in studio by the lovely and brilliant Jen Kearns, a nationally syndicated radio talk show host. Her show is All American Radio. How could people listen to that, Jen, by the way?
Go to allamericannews.com and click on shows.
Allamericannews.com, click on shows. Will people get actual news there as well?
Yeah, absolutely. We sort of in beta. We haven't really publicly announced
right,
it yet.
Cool.
We have every 30 minutes, we update the site. It automatically gets updated with the best news feeds from Newsmax and Fox News, and we need to add WABC.
You do.
To that.
I will echo that. Also talking with John McDonough. He's a radio talk show host on WBAI here in New York, and a comedian and a playwright. John, what's the story with your play Off the Meter? I know you've performed that sort of a one-man show all over the world. When can New Yorkers look forward to seeing that again?
Well, finally, I'm bringing it to Queens. Now, I've done the show up in the Bronx, Manhattan, and in Brooklyn, and it's about my 40 years of driving a yellow cab and all the stories I have condensed into about 70 minutes. So the New York Irish Center in Long Island City are going to have me on October 9th and November 13th. But go to my website, offthemeter.net, and you'll get updates about where the play is going to be. And it's fun telling stories about Long Island City, where the garage I work at is about 10 blocks away from the theater over on Vernon and Jackson.
Yeah, that, you know, when do you have time to drive? You're always hosting radio shows and doing these plays and traveling. Well, when are you driving?
You know what? I haven't been driving much lately, and a lot of the yellow cabs have been shelved. The garage I worked at has shut down. So what I've been doing lately is, you know, I get emails because of the internet. I just did a French television show last year before the pandemic, and they had me dress as Travis Bickle had he still been driving. And I took him around dressed as a crazy Robert De Niro around Manhattan.
Ooh, la,
so I've been doing that, and I've taken Stephen Fry, the famous British actor, to a mob club in Queens where I grew up, and, you know, just different things like that. And then I was out in California for the Amazing Race with my fellow hack, Seth Goldman, and that turned into a disaster. And because of WBAI, I lost $1 million.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah, that's the story I tell in the play.
Wow, that's a lawsuit. Well, I'll look forward to seeing that play when it's available.
You're on the list.
These days, saying crazy Robert De Niro is redundant. 800-848-WABC. Let's say hello to Pam in Oklahoma. Hello, Pam.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. What's on your mind this morning, Pam? I understand you're a certified friend of Jen Kearns and someone that's willing to admit that publicly.
I love Jen. She's great. Us Oklahomans, we have to stick together. So
no, she's a New Yorker now, Pam. Sorry.
It's true.
It's all right. I'm from Florida, so we're all Americans, right?
Right.
A little bit of here, a little bit of there. No, I've enjoyed your show. Jen posted, and I was up late working tonight, and so I thought I would just turn it on. And I have to admit, though, that I was kind of excited to hear the Jen and John debate go back and forth. But John, dude, I mean, I was looking forward to some crazy liberal New Yorker. You're a cool guy. You got common sense. Your things you're talking about, you know, just practical solutions. And I said, this guy's not some crazy New York liberal. You're cool. I like you.
What about that, John? Can't you say anything crazy? You have
well,
a reputation.
You know what it is, Frank? When you're living in the city and you have to live with the results of some of these things, you know, like we're talking about the parking or we're talking about the police, these are not abstract issues if you're living in the city. These have real-time effects, particularly taking the subway now. And because of all the video cameras now, you know, when I was taking the subways in the 70s and 80s, you really were taking your life in your hand. And we didn't have videos. It was a lot of word of mouth or you're reading in the newspaper. But now with the videos and people being pushed onto the tracks and the slashings and the shootings, I mean, it just amplifies everything. It might not be as bad as, say, the 70s or 80s, like the movie The Warrior. But when you see those videos, you're going, oh, no, not another one today. You click on the post, the lead story. Someone pushed onto the tracks. Good Samaritan saved someone who was being stabbed. You know, really, do I want to be part of all of this?
Well, fair enough, Pam. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll make it a habit. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Rocco is in Connecticut. Hello, Rocco.
Hi, guys. Great show. I have a question for Jen regarding these riots. Can the president pardon them? We know it's a political hit job right now. Pelosi is acting like a mafia leader. So what if I'm thinking like crazy scenario. What if Trump runs again and wins? Could he just pardon all of them?
He could indeed. And in fact, if it turns out that the votes in Arizona get retabulated and President Trump regains the presidency. No, I'm just kidding. A lot of my friends actually think that's going to happen.
Well, the rumor was in the Times that Trump himself is telling people that.
Right, right. But you're absolutely right, Rocco. It could definitely happen. Or even if another Republican ascends to the presidency, like a Ron DeSantis and Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence. But yes, it could absolutely happen. You can pardon whomever. You can also commute the sentence of anyone who would be serving prison time at that point. So,
well,
yes.
It's interesting, and thanks for the call, Rocco, and I'll let you comment on this, John. There'd be nothing stopping from President Biden if he wanted, in a moment of healing and bringing the country together and moving the ball forward, there'd be nothing stopping President Biden from issuing a pardon or commutation, right?
I think that would be called a moment of madness.
The Biden administration is full of them. Tell me about it.
Oh, he'd have a mutiny on his hands from AOC and the rest of the gang.
All right. Stephen is in Manhattan. Hello, Stephen.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, now let's say we have a city of 1 million people and five candidates and 600,000 people vote for a candidate to be second. That's the choice of to be second in the race. 300,000 people vote for a candidate to be first. That's 900,000, and the other three are divided amongst the remaining 100,000. who wins?
Well, they don't even look at the second choices, Stephen, of anybody, unless no candidate has a majority of first choice votes. So they look at the first choice votes only first, right? And then they ask, all right, does anybody have 50% plus one? If the answer is yes, that person's elected. If the answer is no, then the candidate that got the least number of first choice votes, all of those votes that were cast for that candidate go to that voter's second choice. And then those second choice votes are added to all the first choice totals. So then they look again. Does anybody have a majority now? Does someone have a majority? If yes, that person wins. If not, then they take the person that has the next least number of first choice votes, and then they go to those voters' second choices. Does that make anything a little clearer to you, Stephen?
No.
Yes, it does. It's rather convoluted, though. I think you would agree.
I don't. Well, so first of all, from a voter's perspective, and thanks for the call, Stephen, I think it's as simple as can be. It's how do you explain ranked choice voting to a voter? You tell them to go and rank their choices. I like this person most, this person next most, this person next most. So if anybody has a majority, that's it. The race is over. If nobody has a majority, then whoever finished last, we go to those voters' second choice. I think once people get the hang of this, it will save people a lot of headaches and a lot of problems. And I will tell everybody this, including Jen and John, that it's ridiculous that we have one set of voting for special elections, one set of voting for primary elections, and then a totally different method for the general election. And general election is really where ranked choice voting is most effective. I mean, everybody loves to blame Ross Perot for Bill Clinton. Everyone loves to blame Ralph Nader for George Bush. Everyone loves to blame Jill Stein for Donald Trump. The fact of the matter is, if you had ranked choice voting in those elections, nobody would be able to blame anybody. But I recommended to the Charter Revision Commission that they have ranked choice voting apply to everything, primaries, specials, generals. But instead, they came up with this wacky system where it's ranked choice voting for the primary. And just as everybody's gotten a hold of that and understands what that is, it's back to old-fashioned single past the post voting for the general election. That was short-sighted, I think, on the part of the Charter Revision Commission and not at all what I recommended.
This reminds me, by the way, of Sorority Rush in 1991 at the University of Oklahoma, where you rank Pi Beta Phi as your number one and then Kappa Kappa Gamma as your number two. And there's always that one girl that gets screwed and someone doesn't rank her number one and she's out crying on this curb. I'm just saying, I know where this is headed.
Yeah. Well, who's going to be out there crying? I guess it's Andrew Yang. I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right. We're going to continue with Jen and John in just a minute. But first, I'll tell you what law firm I rank number one. That is the Staten Island law firm of Angiuli and Gentile. If you've suffered a workplace injury or have an occupational disease that has turned your life upside down, if you've ever asked yourself, how will I live while I'm out of work or how will my work-related medical bills get paid, then the Staten Island law firm of Angiuli and Gentile has been helping people out just like you for over 35 years. They'll help take the fear out of the workers' compensation process. They're good folks who I know personally. And if you have questions about employment law or workers' compensation, give them a call. 888-234-COMP. That's 888-234-COMP. They have in-person consultations or video consultations. 888-234-COMP. 888-234-2667.
The legal offerings mentioned in this ad are not a guarantee of services and or performance, as each case or matter is different and is judged on its own merits.
New York's news and talk station. Download the 77 WABC mobile app now.
Proud life across America, the Billboard people.
Did you know you were kicking in your mommy's tummy before you were born?
We were?
Yep, I just learned at school that babies move and kick before they're even born.
No wonder we're so good at soccer. Hello, I'm Marian Kowarski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that conversations about right to life have become very heated, even angry. We stay away from that political fray. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options. We're here to help both mom and the baby, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Please call 1-800-366-7773. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
Now, a better way to start your day. Due to popular demand, the WABC Early News is now from 5 to 6:30. Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano have news, traffic on the 7s, sit on sports at 15 and 45, business reports, weather, and the newsmakers. The information you need to start your day from the station you trust. The WABC Early News, 5 to 6:30, weekday mornings on 77 WABC. ABC. This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Good loving, I've got a truckload. And when you get it, you got something. So don't worry, cause I'm coming. I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. Got what I got.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. I've been joined for the hour by Jen Kearns and John McDonough. And the three of us, I'm going to tell the listeners a little bit about this a little later, but the three of us are actually going to be together in mid-July for a party that I have been invited to invite people to in the Catskills. We can do an in-person, a recreation of this show with
Perfect.
The three of us.
Is John driving us there?
That'll be double the meter because I'm leaving the city. So
now, earlier in the week, Jen, I also told people about the, and you might have heard about this, John, because I know you're a regular listener. I told people about this Miss Hamptons Morano 2021 contest. You have entered this contest to be my potential Hamptons substitute for my wife.
Yes.
Yes. Well, so far,
can I get out of it?
Well. So far, my sister Claudia has entered.
Oh, that's so sweet.
My favorite second cousin Andrea.
Okay.
This girl that I used to date 6 years ago, who I think my wife is going to veto.
I and the white were vetoing.
Yeah,
now.
And you. So far, you got a 1 out of 3 chance. Marlena Shivo tried to enter with all sorts of preconditions, so I don't think that's going to work.
No, that anytime someone enters a relationship with preconditions,
exactly.
It's not going to work.
Exactly. And John McDonough, I think it's the 21st century. There's no reason you wouldn't be able to enter that contest as well.
I was just thinking, Frank, you're limiting yourself on the options right there.
It's true.
I mean, I don't know. You could self-identify tomorrow as something else.
You could
expand your universe.
That's true.
800-848-WABC.
Before we get out of here, let me pick your brain on one or two other quick issues. Jen,
can I say something,
please,
to your wife?
Yes.
I know we're going to do a whole series on this, but
right.
I'm very trustworthy. I'm a great plus one, great conversation, a little politics, but not so much on the weekend. And I have zero desire to date anyone or marry anyone at this point in my life. Well, so I'd be the perfect
plus
one.
That's something you and Rachel have in common, believe me. Let me ask you about a column that you wrote for Newsmax this week, Jen, about the spike in murder of police officers in America. What's driving this?
You know, there's no question in my mind, there's one factor, and that is the anti-police rhetoric that's being fomented by the Democratic Party from all the way from Maxine Waters to local mayors, Bill de Blasio, all the way up to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Here is the shocking statistic. You know, I'm a big police supporter. I represent clients all across the country that are law enforcement officers and associations. In the first 5 months of 2021 alone, there are nearly as many murders of police officers in the line of duty being shot in their cars, stabbed, killed, shot from a distance, killed, murdered in the line of duty as there were for the entire year of 2020. And that figure is on the rise. In addition to that, there are twice as many, more than twice as many, what they call line of duty deaths, which are other things that happen on the job. Could be car accident, traffic stop accidents. And one thing that sticks out is COVID. There are nearly two times the officer deaths because of COVID. Remember back in the early days of the pandemic, who were the people that stayed on the front line, stayed on duty while we all locked away for 2 weeks?
That's right.
Which ended up becoming a year. It was police officers, and many of them contracted COVID. Many of them recovered, but half of the increased death rate for 2020 was due to COVID.
John McDonough, 40 seconds or less, your take on the drive in police deaths that we've seen.
Three answers. Guns, guns, guns. The proliferation of guns throughout America is crazy. Anybody who's traveled around the world, you never see the type of mass shootings that go on this country.
John,
I don't know what could be done.
We're going to have to leave it there. We'll have you both back soon. Jen and John, thank you. We'll see you in the Catskills.
Yep.
All right. We're just getting started here. We got denunciations. We'll see what other relatives of my employer I can tick off in the next hour. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Until next hour, keep asking questions.
WLIR-FM, Hampton Bays, and 77 WABC, New York.